Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Oh, it's a joy to have our guest here today, Peter Nero. Welcome to Crossover once again, Peter.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be back with Crossover again.
Yeah, he's pulling my leg, audience. He really knows it's Crossover, and he knows where he is. Peter Nero always knows where he is. And he's where the great talent is. And Peter, how many years is it now that you had the Pops?
Well, we celebrated our 30th anniversary in this year, 09.
So 30
we're
years.
30 years old. You were born in 1979.
You don't look a day over 30.
I'm not.
He really is so, well, they say you play like a teenager, I guess. You have the energy, tremendous energy.
I remember that review.
Yeah, tremendous energy, though.
Of a 20-year-old rock and roll drummer,
well,
to be exact.
Well, not quite.
But that's what the guys did.
But a virtuoso and a great jazz player. And I can say that of all of the Pops orchestras that I'm aware of, you really are the one who sits down and not only conducts but performs and improvises, which is really something that I admire very, very much.
Very kind of you. You know, I just take it for granted that that's what I do, but one of the players in our orchestra, and when we had our 30th anniversary concert, they presented me with a huge poster that they had all signed, which I immediately took in for framing, and I have it the first thing you see when you walk in the door. And It's mutual appreciation. I appreciate the fact that they are wonderful musicians and that they give 200% at every concert. And one of them said to me, what we appreciate about you is that you get down into the trenches
mm-hmm.
with us.
Exactly.
And I never thought of it that way before. Because I guess as my conducting professor, Sixten Erling, said to me, when I asked him a question about a particular passage and what general rapport with an orchestra, and he said, just remember one thing, a baton doesn't play any wrong notes.
Right, exactly. Well, I have to say that for people of a certain age, you remember Peter Nero from the days when he was a soloist and a very, very successful recording artist. And I even remember, I must admit, when you came on the scene, you were very unusual. There was no one that was doing what you were doing, and that was what made it. So, I mean, there are a lot of pianists around, but for some reason you brought it into the, not the concert hall, but it was a different approach. I think you played jazz and you played pop music tunes mm-hmm. and so on. But you have evolved into this presence here in Philadelphia as it's Peter Nero and the Philly Pops. You're still your own man, and you, of course, have guided the orchestra into a position where we expect here in Philadelphia that the Philly Pops will be entertaining us throughout the year. And, of course, this is the Christmas season. You have, three more shows left this afternoon, and then tomorrow you have two shows, Saturday matinee, and then you have two shows on Sunday,
right,
the 20th.
Sunday matinee and
yeah.
Sunday night.
And that's the Christmas show. What will you be doing? Are there surprises in store for? I heard something about hats somewhere.
Oh, you mean at this particular concert?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that is a surprise, and I can't give it away.
Okay, forget it.
But we're always full of surprises, and even I'm surprised because I don't know that these things are going to happen.
Okay.
It's the orchestra's sense of humor, and it shows that they're having a good time, which they are. You can see it and you can hear it in the playing.
I can't tell you how many people I speak to who are saying, oh, yes, well, we're going to go to the Pops concert. I mean, for Christmas. I'm taking my mother, I'm taking my daughter, I'm taking my husband. And it's really become a mainstay of the Christmas season. Certainly, you have wonderful concerts throughout the year, but definitely the Philly Pops at Christmas time is something special.
It's nice. I forget what number of year we're at, but we've been doing 10 concerts now for about 6 years or so. And that means a potential of 20,000 people. And we're pretty close to that every year.
Well, I was just wondering, how do you keep it fresh? I mean, you know, it's the same, it's not the same music, but you certainly do keep the Christmastide program fresh. I mean, you know, you give the audience what they want at Christmas, but then there's a lot more.
Actually, it's one of the easier programs to put together because at least half of the material that we do, we have to do every year because people want to hear it every year. And the trick is to make the arrangements unique so it doesn't sound like you're in a department store just listening to the background. So that's where the hard work comes in, is either picking material that's already in existence or things that have to be written. And then we, you know, there are probably 1,000 songs that can be included. We have so many elements in there, performing elements. We have the festival chorus, which are people that are just chosen from auditions. Mm-hmm. And we're up to 134 in this concert, in the chorus.
Is there a limit? Or as many as the stage will hold?
You know, that's really what it's come down to now, because we also have the Philadelphia Boys Choir.
Yes.
And they're 90, but we can't put them all on there, so we split them in half. Besides, because they're young kids, we have one concert after the other. They actually have one contingent that plays one night, another contingent that plays the other night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jeff Smith is a marvelous choral director and an excellent conductor. He's our assistant conductor and plays orchestra piano. And he is a great help and a great talent. Then we have the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas Gospel Choir, and that's about the sixth year in a row for them.
That's a huge group as well.
They're about 40 or so, 45. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sometimes if you have a matinee during a week, it's difficult for people to get away. But so far, we've had a full house up there. Sometimes I hope it's not in danger of collapsing.
It's a lot of fun to go to the concert. I really, really do remember that. Certainly any concert that I have been to that you play, it's fun. You kind of pull the audience in, and very, very ingratiating and, again, very well played. So,
by the way, speaking of having fun, it seems that we can be very serious about the music, but we can have fun being serious. Sometimes it sends a wrong signal to people. Most of the time it's the right signal, because they really always comment to me. They say, it's such a pleasure to watch an orchestra that's having a good time doing what they're doing. But that doesn't compromise the
performance,
integrity,
of course,
quality of the music.
Of course. Well, I think that you are buoying the people up with the music. Peter, tell us what else is on the agenda. You have a whole season ahead of you, don't you?
Coming up, we have Jack Jones, who appeared with us about a year and a half ago in a one-day-only Valentine's Day concert.
And is he sounding the way he's...
Oh, he was superb.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get him back for a season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming right after Valentine's Day, but I think the same spirit will be there. So it's called Lollipops and Roses, and it's usually a big heart as part of the logo. I noticed this one is now reverted to roses, but it's the same thing. It's... music of the heart, I guess you could call it. I usually subtitle that a coronary concert.
Let's hope not.
Followed by Lynn Roberts coming back, the best big band vocalist that ever lived.
Oh, it's unbelievable. She sounds like the day she started, I think. She's just amazing. Been
and
around for a long time.
It's called Stage Door Canteen, and we did this concept 5 years ago. And there was such great material, great songs. And they're different, because most of the great songs come from Broadway. Now, these are reflective of the time period that they were written, which is World War II. So it really speaks of, it's a great historical record.
Yes.
In song of what was going on.
Very nostalgic.
And also very, metaphoric. So don't walk under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
I'll be seeing you, I'm sure.
Yeah, what else? I'll Walk Alone.
Oh, my goodness.
Another, you know.
Yeah.
After all, this husband and wife separated, sweetheart separated. Mm-hmm. So, but the songs are unique in that respect, and they are so
marvelous
good.
Songs.
And I'll tell you, but at the end of the concert last year, 5 years ago, we closed with, and we're probably going to do the same thing, with White Cliffs of Dover.
Oh, my good. Vera Lynn, didn't she used to sing that?
Yeah. And segueing into When the Lights Go On Again all over the world.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
So that's kind of like the culmination of it's like a historical portrait of those 5 years.
Really something incredible. And I think they're showing a whole series on television of World War II. As well, so I guess
people never stop. But
it's something to it's a very special war, if you have to put it that way.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that the number of vets continues to decrease by the day
because
of the age.
Of course. Now, also another great voice. You will be highlighting the the career of Mario Lanza, is that right? At some level?
Right. It's called The Great American Tenor, and this is the, I believe, the 50th anniversary of his passing.
And you also received an award from the Mario Lanza Society, didn't you?
Yes, it was quite an honor. I attended their annual dinner, and it's people coming from all over the world to pay honor to his memory. And Elaine Malbin was the host, hostess host, and the gave awards to singers. In other words, that's part of the whole idea of the organization is to raise money for scholarships, and they gave prizes. So the five finalists all sang. They sang two rounds, and then they picked the order of the finalists from one to five. And I was really shocked at the amount of talent up there. Really great. Ironically, only one tenor and one soprano, two baritones and one bass baritone. Mm-hmm. But they were all of the highest quality and very young. When I say young, anywhere from 20 to 30.
Tremendous talent. This is the 50th anniversary of his death.
Yes, his passing.
And I believe that there was a book that has been written, and there are tributes. But this is a very great honor for you to have received that. It's outstanding achievement in the field of music. How does that make you feel?
Well, I am humbled by every award that I get.
And you've been getting them, I
guess. Well, the older you get, the more awards you get.
Well, Grammys, I don't know where you won. You won a Grammy, didn't you? Or were there several?
Yeah, I won two Grammys and eight nominations.
Yes. But,
Grammy's been on the shelf so long that it just turned into a great Grammy.
Well, but the talent didn't. So now, after Lanza, what else is on the agenda?
Well, by the way, we did a similar program 15 years ago when it was 35th anniversary of his passing. And at that time, that was the height of the three tenors.
Yes.
So we advertised it as a tribute to Mario Lanza featuring three tenors. That's the way it was put, featuring three tenors. And the staff was instructed to answer, because people were calling in. They were saying, is that the three tenors? And they were instructed to answer, no, but their mothers think so. But they were great. And we're going to do a lot of the same stuff, because the material that he sang was really good. Aside from the operatic material, it was the pop stuff that he did.
Yes.
And they were all classy tunes, and oh, he was quite a talent.
Now, when is this one, the Lanza thing, is in?
The Lanza thing is, I believe, in April, I think.
Okay.
And then in May, we have Marie McGovern, who we haven't seen for a while. It'd be nice to have her back again. And she has just come out with an album called Winding Around the 70s.
Hmm.
So she's going to be covering material that we have not covered in a long time. Artists such as Paul Simon, Carole King, James Taylor, Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And I've asked her to do a couple of things that she has done with us before that I don't care when it was written, it's still worth hearing her do again.
Well, listen, all I can say is we just keep it coming, and you just are, as I say, a wonder for us. It's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to listen to you, and of course, it's great that you are so creative on every season, and we will be there.
Really appreciate everything you've done for us, and I love the station. So, matter of fact, I have you on both channels.
Oh, that's great, on HD2.
Yeah,
as
I got
well.
That. I got a good radio this time.
Good. So, and we will hear you live at the Kimmel. That's this afternoon. If anyone is listening, there's a 2:30 performance. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I think it's
great. And then tomorrow, it's two performances, a matinee and an evening performance. And tickets, are they available, you think?
Matinees are almost full, so I would suggest that if people want to come to them, possible. Sunday night one is, there are more seats available. But I know that the matinees are pretty well sold. But then again, you never can tell when seats pop up.
Okay. And again, a whole season ahead of us. So thanks again, Peter Nero, for being our guest.
Thank you for having me once again, Jill.
Okay.